Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside ESPN NBA insider, the host of The Low Post, Zach Lowe, and the man in the middle, the man with seven rings, NBA champion, Robert Horry. We're going to start with the Olympics as Team USA rallied from an early 15-point deficit to the Australians, behind 23 from U.S. all-time leading scorer Kevin Durant, 20 from Devin Booker. The U.S. found their groove late in the second quarter, going on a 20-0 run, outscored the Australians by 22 in the third quarter alone. So, Robert, what was the most impressive aspect for you of the U.S. rally against Australia?
I think it had to be that third quarter, because they come out, you get punched in the mouth to start the game off. Then the third quarter, you're like, oh, man, Australia's for real. They got NBA players over there. They got stars over there. We need to come out. And I think they came out in that third quarter like most true good NBA teams do, and they punched them in the mouth, said, yo, we are the USA. We are the team that's going to win gold, so this is what we're going to do. Kevin Durant, take over. Drew Holiday, play some good defense. And that's what the U.S. did. I think it took them a while to learn who's the top dog on this team, because when you get this much talent together, it's hard to say, you know, I'm going to take a back seat. And I think now they're realizing, oh, that guy with number seven on his back, he's pretty damn good.
He's Kevin Durant.
Imagine how awesome you have to be at anything to say, do you know who I am? Mm-hmm. Like, there's like 20 people in the world who can say, do you know who I am? And it's not ridiculous. And he's one of them. Just where would we be without him? You know, he's the best player in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am impressed, though, when you mentioned Drew Holiday, right? Devin Booker. You've got guys who played so well despite no break from the finals. I mean, Drew Holiday, where is this energy coming from? But the tenacity on defense was exceptional, and Book was Book.
Yeah, these guys flew right from the finals to Tokyo. I don't know how many hours it has changed. It's a lot of hours and just suit up, play after a grueling NBA finals. It's super impressive. That's a real commitment.
Right?
I mean, that's not bogus. That's a real commitment. They're playing really well. Drew Holiday's been amazing on both ends of the floor, and Devin Booker is just ready for all of it. He's proven in the last 3 or 4 months, whatever you throw at him, he is ready for it.
He's a bona fide superstar. We know we always wanted to compare him to the legend Kobe Bryant, but Booker, he's writing his book. He's doing his own path. And the way he can shoot the ball and the way he can control the offense, and the thing that he's learning also in this tournament is how to play defense also, because we know what he can do offense. I think with him, he said, you know what, we had some moments in the playoffs where they try to exploit me defense. This is a time to work on that.
Yeah.
And he's doing everything. He's working on his game, and he's getting better. So this guy right here is going to probably be an MVP next season.
I mean, certainly an all-star coaching staff, too, you can take advantage of if you're on Team USA right now. Pop, Steve Kerr, there's a bunch of guys over there that are on that staff that can really help a guy say, oh, learn this, and then, of course, use them against them in the Western Conference. I do want to ask, seeing how as you have seven rings, I'm just going to keep saying that. When you finished an NBA Finals, how tired were you? And the fact that these three guys, right, Devin, Drew, Chris Middleton, took a 12-hour flight, now are on the time change is no joke. Your nighttime is your day, your daytime is your night. That they're doing this for 2 or 3 weeks.
It's hard, because you got to think about it. Last season was an unprecedented season because they played every other day.
Right.
Then you go into the playoffs, and now you got the Summer League games with the USA. And then you think about it. Once they come back, they got, 2 or 3 weeks off before they start their regular season.
Camp.
So for me, I knew when the season ended, my body needed rest. I would take a month and a half off. I mean, not even touch a ball, not
really
do anything. But these guys jump right into another league, another sport, championship series. So it's hard, man, and it's going to be tiring and grueling. So I just hope that they find a proper way during next season to get the amount of rest, because they're going to need it, because if they want to fight for another championship, they're going to need those guys that are playing for USA.
I'm tired after the NBA Finals.
Right.
And the only exercise I do is getting on the elliptical like an old man in the hotel.
Hey, I get jet lagged.
I get jet lagged flying out to L.A.
Right.
That's a real thing.
So, yes. So it is a thing. And I am curious about repercussions on their regular teams as we go.
I had a conversation with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili one year. I said, yo, the most important thing is us right now winning the championship. And they didn't play for their team the next year. And we won the championship in 2007 because those guys were fresh.
That is really, really interesting. We will see. The other semi last night came down to the wire, but Nicolas Batum's game-sealing block gave France the one-point win over Slovenia. Despite Luka having the third triple-double in Olympic history, Slovenia will play Australia for the bronze. Now the U.S. will get a chance to redeem their loss to France in the group stage with the gold on the line Saturday morning. So that's pretty awesome. Woj reporting Julius Randle extending his contract also with the Knicks for 4 more years, $117 million. Randle will have a player option in the last year of the deal. That extends his deal through the 25-26 season. I cannot believe those words are coming out of my mouth. The 25-26 season. That's where we are. Randle locked in New York, adding Kemba Walker, as we talked about yesterday, Evan Fournier this week. So, Zach, where do you think the Knicks are in reestablishing themselves as an attractive destination for elite talent?
They're getting there. And that's why all of these signings matter. Everyone got up in arms over the dollars and the years turned out to be shorter than was initially reported. The most important thing is staying good, staying competent, staying as an organized team that has a future. And the Knicks, if they do that, are going to attract people. This is a good deal for Julius Randle. The cap will go up. His number will not even look that big as the cap goes up and up. Does he have to prove that the jump shooting last season wasn't a fluke? Yeah, but he's a good NBA player. He's a good all-around player. He played better defense than he ever had before. Kemba and Fournier will give them some off-the-dribble juice they didn't have last year, when really their offense was either Derrick Rose has a big game or Julius Randle bail us out, bail us out, bail us out. And he couldn't do it against a really good Hawks team. I love what the Knicks have done this summer. They didn't get a star. It's hard to get stars. Might take a couple more years. Stars don't become available all the time, but you know they're circling, and the stars are noticing.
You know, I want to say, I think Kemba Walker is a star. You know, he was a star before he got to Boston, and then he had to take a back seat with injuries and Tatum and Brown. So this guy needs this refresher role. He needs a new role, because if you look at this Knicks team, that's what they were missing. They was missing a dynamic guard. Even though Derrick Rose was doing his thing, it's hard for you to have that many injuries at his age and do it for 82 games. So now with Kemba there, they're going to be an exciting team to watch, because we know Thibodeau is going to do one thing, have them ready to play defense, and that's what you want out of New York Knicks team.
And that's the thing. Their defensive talent has slipped a little bit, but you know they'll get all the fundamentals right, all the rotations right. And Kemba, the ability to hit pull-up threes is something they didn't really have last year. He can do that. That's going to give Mitchell Robinson and Nerlens Noel some lobs. Like, the East is tough. It's going to be tough for the Knicks to really get up to that four seed again, but they're going to be good.
Well, look, I mean, if you play good team defense, a guy like Kemba becomes less of a liability, right? And you can sort of make up around him. Robert, I was saying yesterday, I feel like Kemba Walker is additive for them, not just because of what he does on the basketball court, not just because he's such a great locker room presence. Just everyone loves Kemba Walker around the league. But the excitement that's going to be back in the Garden, we saw a little bit of it in the second half of last season and sort of going toward the playoffs. But the idea of Kemba Walker, native son, at MSG with all those great college performances he had, that's going to remind players around the league, too, of when you were playing and what the Garden was like.
Oh, yes, when they had Starberry in the Garden. You know, this is one of those things. Kemba Walker is one of those players that the New York Knicks fans would gravitate to, because he's that New York playground type of guy. He's won championships in college. He's done all these things that he can do. Now he's bringing that home to display it at a time he really needs it in his career, because Boston was a bust for him. You know, injuries and not being able to do his thing. But think about it. He put up great numbers in Charlotte. This guy was an all-star. He can get back to the Knicks and doing it. Him and Julius Randle pick and roll action, it's going to be nice.
I'm excited for the buzz.
Your rookie year, you played there in the finals. You played in MSG in the finals as a rookie, right? 94?
No, my second year.
Second year?
Yeah.
It must have been crazy, right?
Oh, you know, Spike Lee, Knicks. You know, you think about it. You got the man Patrick Ewing going against Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the best battles you're ever going to see. And it was just a gritty, grimy, hot, you know, Pat Riley at the helm for the Knicks, Rudy T. It was great, man. Should have been there.
Teenager watching on TV.
There you go. We'll see if we see a little bit more of that in the months to come. I do want to get over to this coast. Kawhi Leonard, the last superstar free agent available. All has remained eerily quiet with him thus far. Remember, 2019 was crazy. Planes were followed. Fans were gathered. There was like the middle of the night, the sort of clumps of people. There was 4 days of just sort of, where is Kawhi going? The rest of the league waiting to make decisions off of what Kawhi would do. Well, he finally joined the Clippers. Well, we're on day 4 of free agency of this free agency. There are no planes. There are no flight patterns people are studying. There is nothing. So, Robert, should the Clippers have any level of concern that Kawhi hasn't signed yet, or should they feel like, great, he's clearly just not, I mean, he's not on a tour, obviously, the way he was in 2019.
Yeah, he's not on a tour, but for me, as a Clipper fan, I would be mad at Kawhi because there are a lot of free agents could be sitting back. Well, we're going to see what Kawhi is going to do because we might join your franchise. And with him sitting back waiting and trying to see what other guys are getting, see what he wants to do, is not fair to the organization because the organization went out of its way to give you everything you wanted this past couple of seasons. But now you're putting him in a bad situation. You talk about winning championships and being better. You're going to need some pieces because you lost some pieces. But if you don't sign early so people can say, okay, Kawhi, stand put, I can come join him, that's not fair to the organization. You need to come up and step up to the plate just like they stepped up the plate for you.
There's no planes. There's no mobs gathered. There's no Instagram sleuthing. There's also no cap space. There's nowhere for Kawhi to just sign right now. Now, could you do a sign-and-trade? Sure. What's happening probably, certainly, is that he's just either disengaged, which he's Kawhi.
That's Kawhi.
Or he's mulling, do I do a short-term deal? Do I do a 2+1, a 1+1? Do I do the long-term deal? And whatever he does, he'll do. I don't think there's much afoot here, really.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we all expect him to re-sign with this team. But, Zach, with the way the mechanics are going forward for the Clippers and the cap and everything else, are the Clippers going to be trying to sort of make a deal? Like, is this possibly more of a negotiation than we realize? Because there's a point with some guys where it's just like, yep, you give them everything that they want. Luka, of course, has not signed his extension with the Mavericks. We all know what it's going to be. Everything. They're going to put everything in front of him, give him all the money they can give him the player option, do the whole thing. Do you think that they are just putting that deal in front of Kawhi and he's just deciding whether he wants something shorter or not? Or do you think that the organization is saying, well, there really isn't anywhere for him to go. Maybe we could get him on a more slightly team-friendly deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I think they're saying when you get to Kawhi's the stage of his career, the timing of the deals becomes more important, right?
Sure.
When you're at Luka's stage, it's just here's all the money, here's everything you can get. I think the Clippers probably said, look, here's the short one, here's the long one, here's the one with the player option, here's all the paper. You and your agent, pick one of the papers, sign it, and get back to us.
Right, right. Well, he's Kawhi Leonard, and he certainly showed again during these playoffs before he got hurt. That game six he had against Dallas, I was in the building for that. Oh, my. That was an all-time NBA playoff performance. And just reminded everybody, this is what this man can do. Of course, I don't have to tell Masai Ujiri what Kawhi Leonard can do. He saw that for himself in 2019. And Woj reporting this front office news, Masai Ujiri will, in fact, return to the Raptors with the title of vice chairman president. Masai won the title, of course, in 2019, pulling off the daring one-year trade for Kawhi. It all panned out. Zach, how big is this for the Raptors?
I mean, he was the biggest free agent potentially on the market other than Kawhi Leonard. It's a huge deal. I mean, this guy is the architect of a championship team. He has an incredible rapport with players, an incredible amount of respect around the league. He can get in a room with anyone, any free agent, any potential free agent, whatever. And more than that, the Raptors are in a transitional period where Kyle Lowry's gone. Mm-hmm. They have to decide a bunch of different things about what direction they want to go to. And you want to have everyone who's been there through it all in the room making those decisions, especially the guy who has the hammer for those decisions, and that's Masai.
Yeah, we always talk about destinations. If you think about Toronto, Toronto's not a destination, but Masai, he makes it a destination because people trust him, people like him, and they see his track record. And that's the thing about this league. You hear so many rumors about, well, I don't like this GM, I don't like this president or whatnot, but you've never heard this about this guy. And that makes a big difference in players. Because players boils down to, can I trust you as a GM? Can I trust you as a president? Can I trust you to do the right things for this organization and me so we can win a championship? So he's that type of guy, that a destination type of GM. President.
And even when there is a little static, remember when DeMar DeRozan was traded, there was also a greater understanding that Masai had a larger plan, and that plan resulted in a title. So as our friend Brian Windhorst says, winning a championship means never having to say you're sorry. I do think, you know, when I first met Masai, he was a scout. And I think those roots have shown through all the way through all of his decision makings and his involvement. He's been really a prime mover in the NBA Africa program and all of the sort of Basketball Without Borders programs before that, and has let him have a greater knowledge and appreciation. I mean, that's such a talent-rich continent with multiple countries becoming real basketball powerhouses. And the fact that he has been on the ground floor with that as well, I think, really helps him in terms of moving pieces around. Precious Achiuwa, we're going to see what happens with him in that trade. So yesterday, LeBron posted this tweet defending the Lakers roster, right? Now, remember, the Lakers did add an NBA record 6 players age 32 or older already this offseason. Could end up having the oldest roster in NBA history. He then deleted the tweet, and the text was basically, you know, keep talking about us, keep talking about how old everyone is, but keep that same energy when we get to the season. What do you think of the tweet and the delete?
You know, for me, when I read it, I was like, okay, I said, you're going to be inspired. Get these other guys inspired, too. Then delete it. I'm like, no, don't delete it. Stand by your word, because this is the truth. This is the honesty that we give it, because everybody's talking so bad about this team and how old you are. Tell them, yo, man, with age comes wisdom. We're going to know how to stop people. We're going to know how to deal with situations when we get rowdy in the arena. We're going to know how to do it. So, LeBron, keep that tweet, man. Put it back up.
Completely agree. There's nothing wrong with that tweet. Why delete that?
I was surprised he deleted it as well. You're supposed to have confidence, right, in your squad and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Look, my only age concern is injuries, right?
Yes.
Right? It's not that, they don't know how to do it still. Those guys are all still playing a great basketball.
Low.
All right, welcome back. Now that most of the primary moves in free agency are set, it is time to look at who are the most confusing teams this offseason. And Zach, this is something you do on your podcast every year, so we thought we would bring it to the jump. Who are your most confusing teams with the direction these teams are taking as the offseason has begun?
Yeah, it's a little early for this. The offseason is not quite over. I like to absorb everything. But so far, I think you got to start with the Pelicans, because the combination of moves they made to go from Lonzo Ball to not get Kyle Lowry to trade two first-round picks during all of this rigmarole and move down 10 spots in the draft and end up with Devontae Graham, Tomas Satoransky, and Garrett Temple for your troubles. I mean, those guys are all nice players. I just don't really know what's going on. They'll probably bring back Josh Hart, who is still inside, and I love Josh Hart. He's a good player. You just look at this team as, like, they had plan A, B, C, D, E, F. What letter plan was this? G? And then what are they? You know, how does Jonas Valanciunas and his post-up game fit with what they're doing? What is their defensive identity? They were a bad defensive team under Stan Van Gundy. They haven't corrected that. So it's just a little sort of, what's the vision here? What's the identity of this team? They have a new coach, too, and that's part of it.
You know, my top pick was across the street, the Clippers. We just talked about Kawhi. I think that has a lot to do with what Kawhi should have signed early so they can get pieces around him. Mm-hmm. But also, you look at how they played in the playoffs. He's like, wow, that kid Jackson, he finally showed up. He played really good for him, and he's still not signed. This is a piece that you need to bring back. You got Paul George, who's starting to become the true playoff P that he wants to be. But you need guys. You need to be a championship-quality team, because you come to L.A. and you start crowning yourself king over the Lakers and talking about this and that. Mm-hmm. But you don't make any moves in the offseason to get better. You need to try to live up to that hype that you put on yourself.
Well, look, Reggie had such a great postseason, obviously, and that friendship with Paul George was a big part of it. I talked to both of them a lot just about, they've been friends for a long time, like a lot longer than I think people realize. They've actually stayed at the same apartment for a summer. I mean, these guys are tight. So I think that communication on the court, we saw it come out in their play when you know someone that well and you just have that kind of trust and faith in him. So I feel like he's going to stay with the Clippers, because not only is it a successful basketball situation for him, I just think personally it's been a very big deal to him personally. So I don't know. Are they waiting for the Kawhi piece to fall in before they can figure out the Reggie piece? What do you think is going on with the Clippers?
I think they're just in a holding pattern. I mean, we already talked about Kawhi. I think he's coming back. And I think Reggie Jackson will come back, too. Mm-hmm. And this will all be sort of full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The Clippers will be back. And next year is just sort of, depending on Kawhi, if he comes back late, if he doesn't come back, next year is sort of a, let's see what we have in the guys we just got in the draft. Let's see what more Terrence Mann can give us. He was a great story toward the end of last season. And then come back full throttle next year. Remember, another guy that we didn't talk about in terms of improving your team, Serge Ibaka.
Yes.
And that injury was a big, big deal for them. And the spacing and rim protecting that they lost with him. And so they got to get him healthy, too.
Yep. I think also with Serge, though, he's the type of guy that's not young either. So that's going to be a big difference in how he recovers from his injury. Because as you get up in age, that injury, it slows you down tremendously.
But he is a very good locker room guy. And he has a lot of energy. And on a team where there are some more quiet leaders, I think that him being more involved in the mix will have a benefit beyond just the X's and O's on the court. As far as the Pelicans are concerned, though, I mean, my question, since they didn't extend Lonzo last offseason, was how is Lonzo Ball leaving and the pieces you got back even remotely equivalent, especially considering the picks you gave up? And
they've got a lot of picks, right? That's the benefit of the Jrue Holiday trade and the AD trade. They've got a lot of picks to play with, but I don't think you want to just fling them around willy-nilly for the chance at Kyle Lowry. I mean, this is like when Houston salary dumped Jeremy Lin with the chance to get Chris Bosh. You don't get him, and you're like, I just wasted a pick and traded a good player for nothing. So it hurts, and I don't, you know, Zion and Brandon Ingram both said, we love Lonzo. We love playing with Lonzo. I Lonzo's a polarizing player. Mm-hmm. The limitations are glaring and obvious, but what he does well, he's really good at, and he's young. And there was a simpler solution just staring them right in the face. They didn't take it.
But I also think with Devontae Graham coming in, that's a cheaper Lonzo Ball. Don't forget, this guy could have been newcomer of the year. And most improved
player. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. So with that system, they don't need a dynamic guy. You got Zion. You got B.I. You don't need a guy like Alonzo Stas to come out and do it. You need a guy that's going to get the guys in the right position, control the team, and make them better defensively.
Yeah, and you were also confused by, just give us a couple quick hits before we go to break.
Celtics, just sort of all the talent drain that they've had, the stars that have left, quiet offseason, which we knew was going to happen. They got Josh Richardson. What's the roadmap? What's the next step around Tatum and Brown? Where is this team going? And then Pacers, not that active in the offseason, but they just got a lot of guys. The Sabonis-Turner big man pairing has kind of persisted longer than I frankly expected it would be. It always feels like something's got to give there. A lot of guys who need the ball, but nothing's given yet. And obviously, they have a Hall of Fame quality new coach in Rick Carlisle, too.
There you go. You want to add anyone else to that list, Robert?
I just want to pick on the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
You have to
some
do
something. Some things never change.
Yeah, because you got this situation, Charlotte, like with the Ben Simmons thing is going with Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is a vital piece. You're not happy with him. Use him, get something, do something right now. Come on, Kings. You know, even though I ain't going to root for you, but make something of yourself, man.
That Lakers Buddy Hield trade.
That was a good motivational speech. Make something of yourself, young man.
That trade was going to remake what was happening in Sacramento, and then it just didn't happen. All right, coming up, we're going to talk Nets. They're prepped for another championship contending run, but keeping KD, Kyrie, and Harden long term may cost $500 million. Yes, that's billion with a B. We're going to discuss that next. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still with Zach Lowe, Robert Ori, and now our Nets insider, Malika Andrews. And I'm so glad to have you here, Malika, because the Brooklyn Nets are on deck. They plan to extend the big three to long-term deals this offseason. It is going to be expensive. First, there's James Harden, up for a potential extension worth up to $161 million. Kyrie Irving, up for a potential extension worth up to $182 million. And then there's, don't you know who I am? He's Kevin Durant, up to an extension worth up to $198 million. That is a total, friends, if you are counting at home, $540 million worth of potential extensions. Yes, that is more than $500 million. So, Malika, what can you tell us about possible extensions for that Nets big three?
Well, you said if they are counting. You know that Nets owner, Nets governor Joe Tsai is counting. He knows exactly how much money that is. But here's the thing. General manager Sean Marks, Rachel, said that they are married to the luxury tax. They knew that when they brought these guys in, this is what was expected. They paid Kevin Durant through a season of rehabbing, and he came back better than I think many people thought even possible for even a superstar player coming back from an injury like he had. On top of that, they leveraged their future when they made the trade for James Harden. They got rid of Caris LeVert. They got rid of Jared Allen and those young superstars. So this is something that they have seen coming. It was coming from a distance, from a distance, from a distance. And now it's here and they're ready to move forward with it.
$500 million.
Go ahead, Zach. You take that.
You're one of the richest people in the world and you buy a basketball team, I'm not really sure what the point is if you're going to quibble about this stuff. These are three stars. You pay them, you move on, you make it work.
But it is interesting because we have seen even millionaires and billionaires make decisions, and we've watched it in this past week, saying, you know what, we're going to maybe not re-sign P.J. Tucker to the Milwaukee Bucks because the luxury tax bill is so much higher even just than his salary. We've seen that happen over and over again with other championship teams. Robert, when you think about ownership committing this much money to that big three, what do you make of it?
I think about when you had Shaq and Kobe and they didn't want to commit to just two guys. Now you got to commit to three guys. This is amazing. And you look at it. Harden's been one of the most durable guys in the league. KD coming back from an incredible injury. Kyrie, that is the crazy piece for me in this whole scenario. What will you do with Kyrie? Is he going to be there for you? Is he going to be that guy who's going to be committed all about NBA basketball? We know Kyrie does a lot of things off the court, and we applaud him for that. But as a teammate, you want to say, dude, are you going to be here for us 100% of the time and work on us winning a championship? Because that's what it's about, commitment to excellence. You want to go out there and win championships. So if Kyrie can commit, That's the outside piece that I'm worried about. But those other two, I'm not worried about them because they've been durable, they're committed. But if Kyrie could commit and this team comes together, that $500 million, I said, it's going to be worth it.
Oh, $540 million.
I can't
count
that high.
The extra $40 million. I'm not worried about Kyrie during the playoffs and his focus. He's proven himself. He's hit one of the biggest shots in playoff history. He has proven himself that when it comes playoff time, he is there. But you do have three guys, and all three guys have something of an injury history. James Harden, frankly, the most sturdy one of all of them. He has been the NBA's Iron Man several seasons in a row. But even he had injury problems multiple times. So it is something we've talked about it on the west side of the country with aging and older rosters and something that you get into.
Careful, I know,
but we're not allowed to. So we'll talk about it in Brooklyn too, but it's a lot of money and we expect that to happen soon.
Money, I do want
to shift to the west. Exactly. The Utah Jazz, also pretty busy in free agency, re-signed Mike Conley Jr., picked up veteran swingman Rudy Gay, signed backup center Hassan Whiteside, and as Adrian Wojnarowski reported last night, they also traded for Donovan Mitchell's childhood friend, Eric Pascal. It is always so fun to see the two of them after games or on social media. So now they're together all the time. Zach, I'll start with you. Are you buying Utah's offseason approach?
And I don't think the friendship angle was a minor consideration in that trade. Let's put it that way. Buying, they're fine. I think Rudy Gay's a small upgrade as a backup four. And I think they discovered, $10 million for a backup center is not a wise use of our resources. So Hassan Whiteside, here you come on the minimum. They're going to be really good. They're still way over the tax. I wonder if there's another shoe to drop. And it's going to be tough for them to drop that shoe because it would mean trading a good rotation player into somebody's cap space. But I think they should feel pretty good about themselves. They just, that ended the way the season ended, left a sour taste in their mouth. And we're going to have to see how they respond.
For me, the Utah Jazz are always learning and evolving. Think about this. They got exposed with the Clippers and their bigs. You know what? They went small on us. They brought Rudy Gobert out. Now we're bringing Rudy Gay to solve that problem. So that's what they had to fix. The Utah Jazz has had a history of sticking with their teams and added pieces to them to make them better. Think about Carmelo, John Stockton. You're bringing in Hornacek. You're bringing all these other pieces to make them better. They keep getting to the finals, but they never got over that hump. But I think with this team, the Jazz might be able to get over the hump with the pieces they added.
Yep.
Absolutely. And when you look around the West, I think a lot of those contenders in the West, they did get a little bit better. Yes, the Lakers, they added some really big, sexy names. But when you look at the makeup of the West, it all sort of elevated. The Suns are looking to revenge what happened for them. But when I look at this Jazz team, I actually like what they did. They upgraded around the perimeter a little bit, those peripheral players, maybe not the stars, maybe not the biggest names. But if they can bank on upgrading just a little bit, like Zach talked about there, and then also health, that was such a factor, especially going into the playoffs for them. If they can stay healthy and then bank on those small upgrades they made, I kind of like what they did out there.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And to Zach's point, keeping Donovan Mitchell happy, a very, very important part of this process. And the West feels very open. You've got a lot of teams, including the Suns, who I think really did bolster themselves by locking down Chris Paul. And we know that their other big players are going to be up for contracts soon, but they've got this season coming up. And JaVale McGee is a nice pickup for them as well. You've got the Lakers, you've got the Clippers, you've got the Mavericks, of course, who want to make a commitment to Luka about going further in the playoffs. It's going to be so much fun in the Western Conference. And don't sleep on the Denver Nuggets, who have the MVP as well. So it's just, I think we're going to have a lot of rumbles a lot throughout the regular season until we get even to begin to get to the postseason. Dennis Schroeder is among one of the top free agents available. Of course, as you remember, turned down a four-year, $84 million extension with the Lakers midway through the season. Robert, the Lakers could work out a sign and trade deal with him. They could just sign him. He could just go somewhere. What do you make of what he should do and what the Lakers should do?
Well, if I'm Dennis Schroeder, as soon as I saw that trade with Westbrook, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble, because you want to get your money. You sat and said, oh, I want to return to the Lakers, but you wanted to play games. And now you are the disaster of your own game plan. You don't know what you're going to do. You probably lost about $60 million because you didn't sign with the Lakers. Now you probably have to sign a one-year deal, because I don't think the Lakers are going to bring them back, because they're stacked now. They have no room for you. They already had the cap space, so you're going to have to find another home and try to start your whole career. I just hope it doesn't turn out like an IT situation where you pass up all this money and then you can never recoup it.
Well, fit and then money. As I was looking around the league preparing for this segment, it was a little bit difficult for me to figure out where exactly it makes sense that also has the money. The one place that I kind of landed on, I was like, well, maybe Oklahoma City, pre-existing relationship. They have the flexibility to do it. But we also know, based on the Kemba Walker trade, maybe that isn't a team that's necessarily looking to win right this second. I do know that Alex Aratsis, his agent, is one of the premier agents in this league. And so I'm sure he's cooking something up. But it was a little bit difficult. My honest answer of where he's going to go, what is going to happen there is I really don't know, Rachel, and that's based off of the money, who has the money, and the fit for him.
I'm glad we're at least showing some positive Dennis Schroeder highlights. We were showing him getting blocked and like missing layups. Do we have to rub it in? I'll give you four teams, which probably means he'll sign with none of them. Malika already got Oklahoma City. That was one. I think Boston has taken a look, and with Kemba gone, they could use a little off the dribble juice. Minnesota needs a backup point guard and could squeeze him under the tax. I don't know if he's their kind of guy. We'll see. And Dallas, they have money to spend still a little bit, I think, and they would like an off-the-dribble guy to take some of the burden off of Luka. Dennis Schroeder's not a great fit next to Luka because he's just a so-so three-point shooter. But, I mean, it's worth, at this point, with the years and the dollars it's going to be, it's worth a look. But that means I'll go 0-for-4. It'll be another team.
I think for me, I want to say is I think the biggest thing is he wanted to be a starter in this league.
That's what
now, wherever he goes now, he's going to go back to being a backup, which ain't bad. Think about it. Manu Ginobili had one of the best careers in the NBA being a backup. So if he can accept that,
in your role,
he might be able to do that again somewhere.
It is interesting, though, because I was just thinking about that, Robert. You know, all the back and forth in Atlanta, I'm a starter, I'm not a starter. And then Oklahoma City, of course, really made his case for being the kind of guy the Lakers wanted to pick up in the first place. And when he got to L.A., it was, I'm the starting point guard, remember? And everyone was like, oh, that's bold to just come out and say that before training camp has even started. And now, of course, his options for that are dwindling. Malika, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you out here in L.A. soon. Up next, the Wizards will have a new big three as well. Russ is out, but Kyle Kuzma and Spencer Dinwiddie are joining Bradley Beal in the district. We'll break down the pieces Washington got for dealing Russ next. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Kevin Pelton on ESPN Plus. The Machine is ranking the top 10 remaining free agents. What kind of help teams with remaining cap space or exceptions can hope to get? So go read that and then come back with us right here on The Jump. Giannis and his brothers, you know, the Antetokounmpo bros, flex it on Twitter with the Larry O'Brien trophy and Giannis's final trophy while they are in Greece. You got to get the Larry O'Brien to the Acropolis, right? And especially since all three brothers are NBA champions. I mean, that is just so, so cool.
I say just keep it in Greece. Like, make a replica, bring it back to the U.S. so you know you have to, you know, you keep the original in Greece.
Man, so much fun. All right, crunch time here on The Jump. Warriors 2021 draft picks Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, shout out Perk. They made their pro debuts on Wednesday and combined for 37 points as they finished the game as the team's leading scorers. Zach, what are your first impressions of the rookies with the Warriors? Because there's a lot of eyes on these two.
So far, so good. It's one game, and it's going to be different against NBA competition, but this is what they drafted, right? I mean, this is what they were hoping for, this kind of potential, the hops that we're talking about there. So, you know, let's not get carried away, but so far, so good.
My worries exactly. This is not NBA competition. This is not the Stifle Tower you're going up against.
Right.
It's not LeBron. So, you know, I'm proud of you showing your athleticism, you're doing what you're doing, but hey, let's be real. Let's wait. Let's hold judgment.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. And then how are you gonna do when you don't have the ball all the time when that guy named Steph Curry, you know, the $500 billion guy, is shooting the rock all the time?
Well, I was gonna say they might have to go up against the Stifle Tower, but they're gonna have Steph Curry on their side. That's gonna make things a little bit easier. All right. This is really interesting. After medical consultation, LaMarcus Aldridge seriously considering a return to the NBA this season. You remember, of course, he abruptly retired with the Nets over heart concerns last season. And Robert, we had LaMarcus on the show talking about it, and it was very clear. I mean, just having your professional life just cut short all of a sudden, it messes with you. What do you think about the idea of him deciding, okay, I'm going to play a little bit more ball?
You know, I feel like he's saying to himself, my journey is not complete. I didn't go out the way I wanted to go out. And think about it, he played alongside a guy who's actually had to have his chest cracked over, Jeff Green. So he's probably had a lot of conversations with him. He sat down with his doctors and going to say, hey, is this a Chris Bosh thing or is this something I can come back from? So I know health is more important than money. So I think he's going to say, hey, if I can come back, I'm coming back because I have a job incomplete.
Boy, would it be great news if he were healthy enough to do it, if the doctor's okay, because he's got a lot of game left to give. And if he's going to shoot threes every now and then as a pick and pop big, he could play anywhere.
I mean, we've had guys come back after kidney transplants. I mean, you mentioned Jeff Green. To me, the question is always, hey, this guy is a grown-up. I'm going to trust him to make his own decisions about his own health. It bothers me sometimes when people sort of paternalistically are like, well, he shouldn't be doing that. Let me give my opinion on his health. He's an adult. He's a grown man. He's got doctors. He's got family. He is able to consult with all of them and make a decision for himself. And whatever he decides, I am in with. If he decides he's got to stay retired, we will continue to salute the career he had. And if he decides to come back, we will be supportive of that, too, because it would be pretty, pretty cool. All right, let's talk about Danny Green. Agreed to a two-year, $20 million deal to stay with the Sixers. Zach, do you like this move?
Yeah, winning follows Danny Green around. He's a prototypical 3-and-D player. He still hits threes. He still plays good defense. And that contract, probably not coincidentally, is a handy kind of size to have for trades. But Danny Green's a winning basketball player. Still, have him on your team. It's a good thing.
Danny Green is one of those guys that's in the right situation all the time. And I feel like this is a perfect situation for him, because if you think about San Antonio, the Lakers, they were dependent on his three ball. You don't have to do that now. You don't have the pressure, because Curry is the three-point shooter. You can just sit in the corner a la Robert Horry style and just shoot the three and win the glory.
That's not a bad comparison for anyone. It is interesting, Robert, when you sign one of those contracts as a player, and I don't know if going into your vault, if you ever sign something the way Zach says is tradable, do you ever have worries of, oh, I'm signing this just to end up somewhere else?
Well, you do. I just did that with the Spurs, but you don't worry about it. You just want to go out and play basketball, because you start worrying about, you know, if I'm getting traded or this, right, then your game kind of falters, because it's all about going out and playing hard and playing the best you can. If your play is as well as you think it should be or even better, you ain't going nowhere.
Right.
You'll
no,
be all right.
Absolutely
yeah.
true. And we always talk about 2019, and we talked about it earlier in the show about the Raptors winning the title. Kawhi, obviously, the biggest piece there, but they don't win that title without Danny Green, I don't think. So I just to your point.
He was a big part of that trade. I mean, winning, the Raptors wanted him in that trade. I was surprised the Spurs gave him up.
Yeah, winning follows Danny Green. All right, I want to switch gears to my hometown, Washington, D.C. The Wizards and the Nets agreeing to terms finally. After a few days of haggling back and forth, that sign and trade deal that will send Spencer Dinwiddie to Washington, he will receive a three-year contract worth close to $60 million. Dinwiddie will be folded into what is now a five-team trade that includes, of course, sending Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. The Wizards will end up with Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell from the Lakers, a pick that became G League Ignite forward Isaiah Todd, Aaron Holiday from the Pacers, and of course Spencer. So Robert, how does the Wizards return on Westbrook look to you?
It looks good because you think about it, this was a playoff team last year. I don't really want to say a playoff team because they were a play-in.
But a playoff team. Playoff team.
No, they were a play-in team. They're, now, if you 1-6, you're a playoff team. I don't count 7 and 8 anymore.
Wow.
So, playoff team. So, now with this crew, you got to think about it. You got Montrezl Harrell who can bring some grit, you know, sixth man of the year. A lot of these guys got championship caliber teams, so teammates. So, I'm looking for them to do something spectacular, because think about it. They got the number one score in the NBA also adding these pieces. So, watch out for the Washington.
Bobby Marks tweeted the full terms of this trade last night, and I started to try to figure out, and then you know what I did? I just closed my laptop up. And nope, it's for somebody else to do.
How much down did you have to scroll?
This is for someone else to do. I'm not doing it. They'll be solid next year. I mean, I think the number one thing is they're deep. Mm-hmm. And in the regular season, depth can win you a lot of games, especially, and this is the biggest question about them, can they become an okay defensive team? Bradley Beal ran out of metaphors last year to describe how bad their defense was. Couldn't guard a parked car. They couldn't guard a grandma. There were others like that. So if you can play average defense, play hard, and be deep, you're going to win a lot of games in a regular season, a decent amount. I just don't – I mean, the East is getting stronger and stronger. I don't know where the ceiling on this team is. I don't think it's particularly high, but they've done a really nice job transition from John Wall plus a pick for Russ. Russ gets you a pick back and all these players. That's a good bit of business for Tommy Shepard.
Well, look, we were talking about the Bulls yesterday. If you can get to the second round of the playoffs, that's a good thing for some of these franchises. That would be a good thing for Washington if you think this is a team.
Great. Heck yes.
With that kind of thing.
That
would be a great
probably
thing.
I'm just saying, when you talk about the depth in the East, you're not talking about, oh, God, they've got to get past the Brooklyn Nets to get to the Eastern Conference, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, maybe they will with the bracket, but the idea being, like, we're not talking about, is this enough to put them in the elite? We're talking about, is it enough to make them better? We will see. Now, also, before we leave for the Eastern Conference, Lou Williams returning to the Hawks on a one-year deal. So that team ringing it back. Thanks, y'all, for watching The Jump. We'll be back here tomorrow. See you then.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.